Here's Gene Steinberg.
All righty. So, Phyllis Scaldi and Jerry Clark joining us for four more segments. Phyllis, you're saying this may have been the source of the Chucky movies.
Right. And you can, if you're in Florida, you can go to the Fort East Martello Museum and see it there. And it started around in the 1900s. This four-year-old kid got a doll. And they called it Robert the Doll, and it was created in his likeness. It looked like him, and the kid was obsessed with it, and he got some kind of a weird fixation on the doll and blamed all the naughty things on the doll. And then the parents heard him talking to the doll, and then there was a different tone of voice that responded. And then when his parents died, he was still attached to the doll as an adult. The wife was just creeped out by it. She tried to lock the doll in the attic, and then and the guy just went crazy. He insisted on keeping it. So there was like shape shifting and disfiguration, and they locked this locked doll up in the attic. You could hear footsteps and diabolical laughing, and the doll, the next owner thought the doll was torturing her and trying to kill her. Eventually, he made it to the museum where he's there. Nobody wants to piss off the doll. Even former President Bush wrote a letter of apology to it. Because people who see it, and if they do anything bad, then they have bad luck, whether they know about the doll's past or not. So it's something I would want to avoid, because it is real, and there's many, many stories of its diabolical abilities or intentions, and they think that that the original kid was given the doll that had been made by a Jamaican woman who had cast a voodoo spell on it.
So next time you see a Chucky movie, realize that some of these movies is not just a couple of writers in a room coming up with an idea. They'll go into folklore. They'll go into stories. They'll take something and they will use it as the basis for that movie.
A lot of people request information for us about stories for movies or TV or ideas. It was said by previous people that X-Files, Chris Carter, used a lot of fate stories as a basis for their segments.
But he never called you up and said, hey, I'll send you a check.
Oh, no. Fate is the real X-Files.
Okay. Let me ask you a question here, both of you. Now, these days, a lot of the media coverage about strange events is confined to so-called reality shows. Do you think if a producer for one of those channels came to you, National Geographic, History, whatever, and said, let's do a fake magazine thing, what would you do?
It's already might be happening.
All right.
But I'm not allowed to say anything else.
Now, one thing I mentioned before we got on the air, there's now a new reality show called Hangar One, which I guess is based on MUFON case histories. But, Jerry, you were telling me they just bought the rights to use MUFON's name?
I'm not associated with MUFON. I never have been. MUFON, of course, is the Mutual UFO Network, and which is an organization that's been around since, I think, about 1969 or so. And MUFON has done a lot of good work, and it's also got involved in a lot of foolishness. I think that MUFON is kind of a hybrid of a UFO research organization and a flying saucer club.
How so?
Well, there are always people in the organization. I think, unfortunately, a minority, but not necessarily a tiny minority, but a minority, who have some kind of intellectual discipline and want to analyze cases and investigate them reasonably and come to reasonable conclusions and with reasonable documentation. And then there are other people who don't really have that kind of critical intelligence and just sort of are your stereotypical true believers who are in it for the stories and the mystery and the intrigue and so on. And so the magazine, the MUFON's journal, if you read it, caters really to both crowds. that you can read about some pretty decent investigations. And then you can read a lot of stuff that's just crazy and wildly speculative and even gullible. And I think that, these many, many shows on anomalies and paranormal on cable television, most of them are no good. They're just crap. And they're kind of lowest common denominator shows. And they pretend to be documentaries, but they're really just kind of entertainment. And I have not seen the particular show you mentioned, but I have been in conversation with certain individuals connected with MUFON, whom I will not name because it would get them into trouble.
Sure.
Who say that this operation bought the rights to the MUFON name and was basically, the contract said they could do anything they wanted with it, and they're doing anything they want with it, which apparently is a lot of really silly stuff that doesn't deserve the attention of any serious-minded person curious about, what the realities and unrealities of the UFO phenomenon are.
What we're talking about here is maybe emphasizing a few cases that are crazy to begin with.
Yeah, or maybe even fictional.
Possibly. But what they apparently are doing, which is just as bad, is they'll show illustrations which appear to be documents, like government documents on the air, and they're fabricated documents. And not always well fabricated, very clumsily fabricated, but just something to look good on the screen. And
yep.
That takes it even further. Sometimes you can take an event, you can debate whether it's real or not, and if you're faithful to the facts and the presentation, well, then you can look at it and say, well, I don't agree with that. But if you just make things up, this is working into the hands of skeptics, as you know.
Well, it violates Mary Margaret Fuller's dictum that we don't have to believe it, but it has to be capable of belief. If it's something that no reasonable person could believe, that's simply not even arguable, then it's just nothing. It debunks itself.
And, of course, people who aren't concerned about such things just want to be entertained for an hour. They'll turn on the show, they'll watch it, maybe they'll be interested. I have no idea about the ratings of Hangar One. I know other shows that have tried to do this have not succeeded so well. We had, for example, Chasing UFOs. One of the co-hosts was James Fox, who regrets having participated in that show. And I think he believed that maybe he could bring something to the table. It's not quite as blatant as what Hangar One is doing. But I guess you can't expect much more from it. So how, in that framework, and Phyllis, you can add to this without giving us any details, how do you provide accurate information and a presentation that has fidelity to the facts? How do you do it?
That's a very difficult question, because when you sign an agreement for TV or movie, you pretty much sign all rights away. This happens across the board with a lot of people who have written books, and they can pretty much do whatever they want.
I'll give you one more example. Hollywood optioned one of the UFO books from Major Donald Kehoe, and I think he believed they would do something that's UFO oriented. And I know Jerry knows what movie I'm talking about. And it wasn't a bad movie, by the way.
You're talking about Earth versus the Flying Saucers.
Sure, Earth versus the Flying Saucers.
It's a hugely entertaining movie.
The special effects were done by Ray Harryhausen, which is, of course,
right,
a stop-motion animation. And it had some of the best special effects of a flying saucer-type film I've ever seen.
Exactly, absolutely.
Good performances, interesting story, but the only thing that related in any way to UFOs is the introduction where the narrator gives you a brief overview of the UFO mystery. And that was it. Kehoe was embarrassed beyond belief as a result, by the way. Jerome?
Yeah, he tried to have his name taken off the credits, but they wouldn't do it. If you see the movie, you'll see that it's quote-unquote based on Flying Saucers from Outer Space by Donald Kehoe.
We have Jerome Clark and Phyllis Galdi. Three more segments coming. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift Server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Amanda Bosel here from Midas Resources. Today, March 21st, 2014, gold opened at $1,339.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,387.93, $693.96 for a half ounce, or $346.98 for a quarter ounce. Again, that's $1,387.93, $693.96, and $346.98.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast, Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. We have Phyllis Galdi of Fate Magazine and Jerome Clark, a UFO historian who used to work for Fate Magazine. And yes, if you look up the credits, Hollywood bought an option on Keogh's book. That option lets them do anything.
I think that Keogh should have been more philosophical about it because, after all, this was a science fiction film. It did pretend to be a documentary.
It sounded to me like he was either very naive or didn't pay attention, but certainly if you're going to option a property to Hollywood, you have to have a good lawyer there. A really, really good lawyer, because you know, unless you have a high power lawyer or you have some previous history in Hollywood, prepare to be taken.
You yep. got it.
But that, oh, I can just, and Kehoe, of course, was trying to be so serious about everything.
Well, Kehoe, actually, in Kehoe's defense, one of the Kehoe's missions, and I didn't fully understand this until I wrote my UFO Encyclopedia series, where I was really immersed in, you know, the details and the arcana of ufology in the 1950s, and reading private correspondence and rereading the publications. And what Kehoe was trying to do was to make the study of UFOs respectable. And in those days, it was up for grabs, and what Kehoe did was perfectly honorable. And he saw that if this thing isn't taken seriously, we're not going to know what's going on. He was exactly right. And I think that he saw this movie as apparently ending in some kind of documentary which would have a measurable effect on public opinion. And I think the book was optioned just because they wanted to make, you know, a science fiction movie with flying saucers. And they, and in Hollywood's end, they may have been afraid that if they had done that without paying Kehoe, who was the most prominent UFO author of the time, some money, he would sue them. So you can see things from both ends of this.
So this transaction was defensive?
Yeah, I think it may very well have been. I think they may not have wanted to get sued, and Kehoe may have seen that he had some proprietary interest in the whole concept of flying saucers, and he could have made a legal case out of this. I think they probably paid him, you know, I don't think they paid him a vast amount of money, but they paid him enough money so that he wouldn't bother them in court after the movie came out. And I think that the two sides were probably speaking different languages and misreading each other.
Also, I think with Kehoe, I always had this impression of someone very naive about what would happen. Like, for example, he said, let's get congressional hearings on UFOs. This is going to be it. These congressmen are honest brokers. They will find out the truth. It seemed to be over his head about the political ramifications. And, of course, when they finally had hearings about UFOs in the 1960s, we got the Condon Report.
Well, I think that Kehoe had actually spent most of his professional life in Washington. And I think that he thought in terms of, you know, Washington solutions to problems. And if you become convinced that the Air Force is not telling the truth, that it's covering up what it knows, you know, congressional hearings aren't any rational response to that. It's just that it turned out to be a misguided one. And that the best work that NICAP did, which was documenting and investigating sightings, never really got the attention it deserved. And I didn't even fully understand it myself until I was working on the encyclopedia and began getting access to the reports that the NICAP investigative subcommittees were filing and seeing what an incredibly good job they were doing. But if you read the NICAP publications, you read very little about that. You read mostly about the, you know, the perfidy of the Air Force and its cover-up. And all that just seems to have kind of evaporated in the mist over time. And the history has not validated either that interpretation or the approach that followed from it, namely congressional hearings. Kehoe was just simply misguided. And yet he was, in a sense, a heroic figure in understanding that UFO reports were genuinely puzzling and possibly deeply significant and deserving of more than they were getting from official and military agencies.
And you know, by the way, Major Kehoe, if you look at his bio, he also wrote fiction, by the way. And
he wrote a lot of pulp fiction, right.
Right, and he created superheroes. As a matter of fact, he created one called Richard Knight, who was supposed to be a World War I veteran. Listen to this now. He's blinded in combat, but gains a supernatural ability to see in the dark. I wonder if Daredevil, the Marvel character, was influenced by that. Richard Knight, created by Major Donald Kehoe. Think about that.
There was a comic book character named Ray Palmer, as you may know.
Right, and he was called Ant-Man.
Ant-Man.
He could make himself very small.
And, of course, the real Ray Palmer was very small.
So, yeah, there was something in that.
Yeah. No, it was an intentional homage to the real Ray Palmer. as I understand it, according to Fred Natus, Palmer's biographer.
Yes, but think about that. I'm just thinking about Major Kehoe as someone who created superheroes.
His writing in his UFO books is clearly influenced by his pulp writing. I mean, those books are written like, you know, I mean, they're factual, although in retrospect, pretty speculative, but they're written like pulp fiction. You know, the writing style in Kehoe's books is really corny and dated.
And I always thought of them as being pulp mystery novels.
Yes.
Heavy on dialogue, light on
right.
description.
Yep.
And he'd recreate conversations with people to present a case.
Well, he did take, I was told, I was talking with someone who knew Kehoe about exactly that, these improbable recreated conversations, and the individual said that Kehoe was just a fanatical note taker, and he did write down these conversations as they were happening or very soon after they happened. So he thought that the conversations were fairly accurate. He wasn't tape recording them, apparently, but he was, you know, a great journalistic note taker. So the conversations apparently aren't quite as fictitious as they read, but there's a lot in those books where the prose is so clumsy and heavy-handed that you just sort of cringe, and nobody would write a UFO book like that today.
You know, I got the impression that Captain Ruppel tried to imitate Kehoe in writing his book.
Well, I think a lot of Ruppel's book was ghostwritten. You know, he had the big editorial hand of a reporter from, I can't remember the guy's name. His name shows up here and there.
And probably that reporter, no doubt, was influenced by Kehoe, saying, well, this is the best-selling UFO book. Let's make it read like that.
Well, I think that the report is a lot better written than Kehoe's books. I've gone back to Ruppel on a number of occasions in my own writing, and I think that's one of the best written of the early UFO books.
The report on unidentified flying objects, Captain Edward Ruppel. So if you want to look that up, a lot of fascinating cases there. Of course, we mentioned it earlier when we were talking about the Maury Island case and the Chicago publisher, and the Chicago publisher, of course, being Ray Palmer. We'll have more to come and some more questions of Jerry Clark in our next segment. Jerome Clark, Phyllis Scaldi, you're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
In the U.S., One in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, Chris O'Brien is on special assignment this week. He'll be back next week. We'll be talking about his new book, Stalking the Herd. Phyllis Scaldi, Jerry Clark, you guys at Fate have much information about cattle mutilations?
Well, we haven't really done much recently on cattle mutilations. I guess people realize they exist, and I'm skeptical, probably, unless I see one myself.
Jerry?
I think the problem is even if Phyllis or I saw one ourselves, we simply, you know, lack the forensic skills
sure.
to know whether this really is genuine.
Right. So would you publish a story like that, though?
We have. We have published things on cattle mutilation.
We have some questions from Jerome Clark here from Burnt State. He's back again, and he has three more questions. So I think some of this has been answered already, but let's go into detail. Jerry, his first question, over the years, what role and impact did Fate magazine have in shaping your own approach and philosophy towards the UFO and paranormal fields?
Well, I suppose broadly speaking, I could say that it gave me a respect for people's experiences and people's kind of frustration in communicating, you know, fantastic experiences to other people because they're, you know, social pressure demands that we not believe in these things or take them seriously. And it puts people who claim otherwise into various kinds of stereotypes, none of them flattering. And so I realized that one reason people read Fate was that it had a strange experience. And reading it, columns like True Mystic Experiences or My Proof of Survival, helped them realize other people were having these experiences. And that, therefore, they weren't crazy, because I made even question their own sanity after they were laughed at enough by their friends and neighbors. But beyond that, Fate certainly influenced me. But, you know, my interest in those subjects predated my even reading Fate. And I have had input from all kinds of sources of information and from people that I respect, and just a wide range of kind of a growingly kind of cool intellectual approach to these matters. And so, yes, Fate was part of that mix, but it's a huge mix. And there were many influences that have gone into my thinking over the decades. But I continue to love Fate magazine and to be honored that I get to have a column in it.
Who are the writers and favorite topics from Fate that you have enjoyed reading the most in the history of the publication? Jerry?
Well, you know, I like the UFO stuff. I like the cryptozoology articles. And, I mean, just anything that you know, struck me as novel and just different from the rest. You know, and there were writers I had when I was working there. I had my favorite writers who were guys who were more like me, you know, who really were, you know, digging into stuff and trying to find a way to analyze the stuff and to think about it seriously and not just kind of, you know, accept it as fodder for imagination and speculation. And, you know, I was always more oriented toward people who are kind of have a scholarly inclination when they're dealing with this sort of thing.
You know, that's a question I'd like Phyllis to answer, too. Phyllis?
Well, I really enjoy every issue we publish stories from 50 years ago. And being an English teacher and creative writing, I just love how they wrote back then. I don't think people have the skill or the time to weave the wonderful stories that they did 50 years ago. So over and over again, I find myself just charmed by the writing style and the magic of the stories and the wonder of them from 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Ivan T. Sanderson comes up a lot, and he was a popular writer back then, and I love reading his stuff.
Sanderson was a wonderfully chatty writer. You'd read him, it would feel like you were sitting over a drink and he was telling you a story. And he'd kind of go off into these asides and stuff, and then he'd have these funny observations. And sometimes if you read Sanderson closely, he wasn't making a whole lot of sense. But he was really fun to read.
I knew him casually for a few years before his death. And he was a fun guy. We went out to his farm or whatever it was, and we spent the afternoon with him. Really fascinating guy. Really interesting guy.
Everybody that I know who knew Sanderson said that he was kind of half crazy, but he was always fun. And people always enjoyed being around him.
Of course, as a corollary to that, maybe some of the things he speculated about you wouldn't take fully seriously.
Isabel Davis said in a private letter to the atmospheric physicist and UFO investigator James McDonald, Isabel Davis was a major figure in the early history of ufology as a really serious student and thinker about it. And McDonald was a scientist at the University of Arizona who was doing a lot of UFO investigations, and he was trying to find other scientists who were interested in the subject. And, of course, Sanderson was quite prominent as an author and television personality. So McDonald struck up a conversation with him. Now, McDonald was a very serious, straight-laced guy who never, ever forgot that he was a scientist while he was investigating UFOs. And he just came up against Sanderson, and Sanderson just struck him as a complete goofball. And he just couldn't understand why he couldn't communicate with Sanderson scientist to scientist as he expected to. So he expressed his frustrations to Isabel Davis in a letter, which was never published, but which I saw while I was researching my encyclopedia. And Isabel Davis writes back to McDonald. She said, "Well, you have to understand that Ivan, whom I have known for many years, is a child."
Oh.
And she said that she loved him, but he had the heart of a child, and that's a great part of his charm, was that he was just full of mystery and marvel and wonder. But, you know, he really was a keen, analytical adult mind.
As I said, lots of fascinating stories, but you have to consider whether to take them seriously or not. Question number three from Burnt State. And I'll go to both of you for this. First, Jerry. What approaches and changes to the paranormal and ufological fields do you think would help legitimize and broaden the audience for more serious inquiry in these respective fields of study? And this, of course, kind of follows through with talking about reality TV and how people look at these subjects now. You might have a long answer, Jerry, so let's start it in this segment, then continue in our final segment.
Well, I'll keep it a succinct answer, that nothing will change until scientists get involved in a serious way and do actual science and have the resources, the laboratories, the funding, the institutional support, all those things that make science possible. In the meantime, what I try to do, and the colleagues, in my ufological colleagues that I respect and like to be around, is try to do the best kind of scholarship and writing and preservation of records and analysis that we can do. What we're doing, we're involved in a holding action until finally science takes this up. And science will take this up one day. Science always gets around to dealing with the great questions. Sometimes, often, it takes its time getting there, but it gets there eventually.
But maybe it's not going to happen in our lifetimes, Jerry.
It is certainly not going to happen in your lifetime, in my age, in our age.
Anyway, we're as old as the hills, ladies and gentlemen. When they said the hills are alive with the sound of music, boy, that was after we came about. Anyway.
It is a question, though, that science will take up sometime in this century.
Jerry Clark and Phyllis Galdi joining us. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
I'm David Cordani, President and CEO of Cigna. We're proud to support the March of Dimes by walking in the March for Babies. It feels great to know that the money we raise funds life-saving research and programs that improve the health of babies. With your help, we can make this year better than ever. Join Cigna and our coworkers across the country in March for Babies to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org and march to help our babies. Thank you.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy biofilms. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have one more segment with Phyllis Galdi of Fate Magazine and UFO historian and researcher Jerome Clark, who used to work for Fate and still writes for them. And that question I asked of Jerry, changes to paranormal and ufological fields to make it possible for more serious inquiry. What do you think, Phyllis?
Well, I think the government has something to do with it, too. No matter how many times, you know, you have evidence of a strange experience, ufology, I really think the government is putting a kibosh on information out. They diss it and they deny it and pretend it doesn't exist. So I think they're complicit in keeping the shutters down.
Well, then you probably have to do it for them kicking and screaming. They'd have to be forced to confront the issue. Would that be possible?
Oh, I think if a UFO landed on the White House, they'd still deny it happened.
Well, with this president, it's so polarized. You know, if Obama said tomorrow, we're being visited by E.T., Fox News would say he's making it up to hide the truth about Benghazi.
Exactly, yep. If Klaatu walks out of the spaceship, you know, they would still deny it.
Did anyone ever notice here, if you look at the final scene of The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original 1951 version where the UFO is taking off, the spaceship is taking off, mm-hmm. If you look at that and you look at some of the UFO illustrations from Howard Menger, one of the UFO contactees, that's where he got it from.
Not surprised.
Cool.
I exposed it right here. Here it is. It's all exposed. I know everything now.
You learn something new every day.
And this is the kind of knowledge that, having received this information, it has no value whatsoever.
I don't think most people even know who Howard Menger was anymore, but in the 1950s and even into the 1960s, he was like the East Coast version of George Adamski.
He had the nickname of the Jersey Adamski, and he was a sign painter in Highbridge, New Jersey. And I'll tell you a story quickly about Menger. So Jim Moseley, late Jim Moseley, editor of Saucer News then and Saucer Smear later, we meet Howard Menger in this diner just across the street from Saucer News office at 303 Fifth Avenue, New York. And Menger says, you know, I think that maybe I was the victim of some kind of government experiment. That's what he said.
Yeah, I remember that he was peddling that story in later years. My suspicion was that he'd gotten in so deep with this, you know, this complex hoax that he was pulling off, that he wanted to get out of it without ever having to actually confess that he'd made it all up and taken all these phony photographs. That's what I think that was about.
So basically here, this was his excuse. Create a new story to divert attention from the old story.
make him a victim instead of a liar.
All right. Of course, that's a theory also some have voiced about some of the early contactees, that they were involved in some kind of government experiment. Orfeo Angelucci was another one.
Mm-hmm.
But you heard that. That's where you go. So speaking of where we're going to go, Phyllis Galdi, we have maybe 6-7 minutes left with this episode. What are the future ideas that you have in mind for Fate Magazine?
Well, we'll see what Fate has to say. Next issue we're going to have about is about ETs and UFOs. Jerry, you better come in. People who claim to have experience with contacting ETs and you know, personal experiences. So that should be a lot of fun and create some controversy. Then the next issue after that is about animal communication. Telepathic communication with dolphins and other non-human beings. And after that, it's going to be Sasquatch.
Uh-huh.
So we have some interesting topics to cover. So, like I said, fate kind of writes itself. It kind of
Phyllis, you better
itself.
Send me a book so I can review something for the next column.
Yes, yes. I have some,
okay,
I have some good ideas.
All right, so we're not going to know what Jerome Clark's going to review for Fade Magazine until we look at the issue, until he sends the books. Of course, as we mentioned before in the issue that I have here, which is July-August 2013, he's reviewing those books about Palmer and Shaver.
Yeah, Richard Toronto's book.
Right, so that's what he was doing then. If you had the money and the power, Phyllis Galdi, to change something in Fade Magazine, to get a wider audience, or just to change it, what would you do?
Get better paper.
Okay.
You're thinking content, of course. We have got stacks and stacks of submissions, article submissions that are just absolutely fascinating. Some are same old, same old. I mean, how many ghosts have you seen? So we're looking for more timely information and with a little more meat to them.
So the impression I get when I look at Fate Magazine is it's 1955, and mm-hmm. I'm sitting in at the editorial meeting, and you're looking at the stories of the things that are happening, the UFOs, the ghosts, the cryptozoology, the monster on the beach, all this. Has it changed that much, really?
No, not really, but the readers claim that's what they want. They get mad if we have all UFOs, if we have all monsters in an issue. They like the variety, like Jerry was talking about. If they might not want to read everything in the issue, but there might be a couple, three, four articles that they're fascinated by.
Jerry Clark, what are you up to these days?
Pursuing other interests. You know, I have a lot of interests, and I basically decided that I'm probably not going to write any more books. I've said everything that I wanted to say. My last book, Unexplained, came out in 2012, and I'm very pleased with that book, and it's a lot of good stuff in it, but I think that it pretty much says all that I have to say. It sort of sums up a lifetime of researching and thinking. And, I still monitor things. But I'm not really involved in any particular project related to anomalies these days. Just doing some reviewing and the occasional essay. I wrote a blistering piece on John Keel for 40 Times late last year. Quite a response. And
blistering?
Yeah, just sort of stirring the pot here and there.
How blistering? How so?
Oh, it was not. I was not a fan of Keel, whom I knew for many years, and I compared him to. I said he was the ufological equivalent of Glenn Beck. And,
that really hits.
And then went into chapter and verse about why he was, you know, emotionally unstable and factually unreliable, and so on. And you know, nobody could challenge any of the facts, but they still got mad. So I like to do that one for a while.
Oh, that sounds like having a good time. Yes, indeed. Phyllis Galdi, people who want to learn more about Fate Magazine, this is your chance, 30, 40 seconds, where you can sell the product.
visit our website, fatemag.com, and request a free e-issue.
That's
simple. Let us know what you want to see in the magazine, and we'll accommodate you. It's your magazine. It's the reader's magazine. I consider myself a steward.
And this magazine has been going on since 1948, and maybe in 2048 it's still going to be around to celebrate its 100th anniversary. Who knows?
That's maybe the next generation, sure.
Right. FateMag.com. That's FateMag.com. You can find us, by the way, in all sorts of places. Really, on Twitter. You look at the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Send us a tweet and follow us, and maybe we'll follow you. We're also on Facebook. There is an official Paracast fan club on Facebook. In fact, there are two of them, and someday we'll figure out how you make them one. But unfortunately, Facebook doesn't make it easy to figure out such things. They just want to mine your data and do lots of wacky things. Our own Chris O'Brien has his own website. It's called OurStrangePlanet.com. That's OurStrangePlanet.com. And if you go there, you can learn all about his new book, Stalking the Herd. If you buy it from his website, he will autograph it for you. That doesn't happen with Amazon, okay? That's interesting. Buy a copy there. In any case, Jerry Clark, Phyllis Galdi, thank you both for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. It's always fun.
Yes, thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Freeze Dry Guy.
And do the GCN listeners let you know they heard your ad?
Customers do let us know they've heard Freeze Dry Guy ads on GCN. They seem to be very loyal listeners to GCN, and they stay with those shows, and subsequently they stay with our business too.
Looking for positive results? Contact Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338. And talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.